Amen. Good morning, everyone. I want to begin this morning with a reading from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of His holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon leap like a calf and Mount Hermon like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare, and in His temple all cry, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as King forever. The Lord gives strength to His people. The Lord blesses His people with peace. Let's pray. Almighty Lord, God of glory, bring Your people peace and give us strength and open our ears that we might hear Your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm very aware of the fact that the language, hearing the voice of the Lord, has not been historically a part of our church vocabulary. And anytime you hear language that you're not accustomed to, I know what my tendency is. That is, it sounds strange, it sounds foreign, and therefore it sounds suspect. But depending upon what your church background has been, there are any number of phrases that are wholly biblical that might sound foreign and strange to you for lack of use. Phrases like baptism for the remission of sins, or be filled with the Holy Spirit. Wholly biblical phrases, however, depending upon the context from which you come, may sound a bit strange and foreign because you're not accustomed to it. As we discovered last week from John the 5th chapter, Jesus wants you and me not just to diligently study the Scripture alone, but to listen for His voice. That does not mean that we ignore Scripture. In fact, I would say that if you are not actively listening to Scripture in your life, you shouldn't expect to hear anything from the Lord. God is never going to give any word to anybody that conflicts with His Scripture. But there are many specific situations that you and I face in our daily lives that Scripture does not address directly and individually and personally to you in the specific situation that you're facing. Why, sure, the Scripture may give principles that you can apply, but Perhaps you're facing a situation where maybe God needs to speak to you personally. Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. By that, I'm not necessarily saying that you're going to hear an audible voice from God. I'm not saying that you're going to have a prophetic ability or that somehow that there are today latter-day revelations. What I'm talking about is being individually led by the Spirit of God in your life. But that is something that you and I must tune our ears to hear. We might call it spiritual instincts. And that's what I've chosen as the title for today's sermon, is spiritual instincts. The Bible is filled with occasions when people, the Bible would say that the word of the Lord came to a person, or that a person heard the voice of the Lord. And the Bible is filled with accounts of that. Now, there are some instances where clearly in the context, the individual heard the audible voice of God. However, I would challenge you to go back and read through the Bible thinking this way, and you will discover that very few individuals of whom the Bible says they heard the voice of the Lord or the word of the Lord came to them, very few of them actually heard an audible voice. Instead, what they received might be characterized as a gentle impression or guidance from the Lord. Let me give you some examples. You may recall in Genesis chapter 24 how Abraham's servant was sent to find a wife for his son Isaac. And in that chapter, we find that the Lord provided some gentle guidance by the fact that the prayer of the servant was answered as he asked the Lord to show him who the wife should be, and she offers water to both him and his animals. The voice of the Lord came to that man in that situation. Not an audible voice, but gentle guidance and direction. Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19 discovered that most of the time when God's voice speaks to you, it doesn't come by virtue of an earthquake or fire, but rather it comes through the means of a gentle whisper. The Spirit of God directed Philip in Acts chapter 8 to join the chariot of the Ethiopian so that he might receive the truth of what he was reading from the prophet. We find that the Spirit of God in some way directed or prevented Paul from entering the land of Bithynia so that he might instead go another route in Acts chapter 16. And the Lord gave Timothy insight, just like Paul prayed that he would receive in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 7. The point is this. Paul makes a strong case that for those of us that are children of God, in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, we are to be led by the Spirit. Now, God has a lot of ways of getting your attention. God has a lot of ways of trying to provide this gentle guidance and direction for your life and for mine. People have used lots of different phrases to try to describe this scenario, this phenomenon. Maybe you might call it a tap on the shoulder, or a divine prompting, or a small, still voice. But whatever you might call it, the truth of the matter is that God uses the natural rhythms and the occurrences of our lives to cause certain thoughts to come into our minds. And those thoughts that come are provided as a conviction or a prompting or a nudge in a certain direction where God is trying to help us along the way to find the appropriate way. But I think you got to view it that way. You have to view those scenarios through faith, walking not by sight, but walking by faith. Now, the idea that God would speak to us should, in fact, it might, it shouldn't, but it might worry some of us. Well, The idea that God would speak to us personally worried the Sadducees. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe that God spoke to anybody after Moses. They were nervous about this whole idea. And so as a result, the Pharisees lived lives that were detached from God's workings in their lives on a daily basis. And so as you might have learned in Sunday school, they were sad, you see. But the more that you have ears to hear, the more I'm convinced as we walk by faith, I'll tell you this, the older I live, the more that I grow in Christ, the more that I open my ears to hear, the more I have become an unbeliever. An unbeliever in chance and circumstance and coincidence. I've become more and more of a disbeliever in those things, and more of a believer that the presence of God is active and alive and working in the events of our lives. In the words of Psalm 27 in verse 13, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, functions in many ways, has for most of my Christian walk, as my life verse. It says this, Psalm 27, 13, I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness as I am here in the land of the living. But you got to open your eyes to believe it. You got to want to see it. You got to have ears that'll hear to see the goodness of the Lord that is active and alive and working right here, right now in the land of the living. Now that is the biggest difference as I see it from the old law and the new covenant of Jesus Christ. God's voice in the old law was written in stone. It was set in stone, immovable, fixed in concrete. But in the new covenant, God writes His law on our hearts so that we don't serve in the oldness of the letter, but we serve in the newness of the Spirit, following the direction and the guidance of the interactive workings of God in our lives on a daily basis. And He does that through the inward promptings of the Holy Spirit that lives within the children of God. And it comes most often in the form of conscious thoughts and inclinations and impressions and gentle whispers and spiritual instincts. Let me give a few examples. Let's say that you're at work and you're working away on your keyboard, you're doing spreadsheets and making phone calls, and then in the midst of a very hectic work day, suddenly, seemingly out of the blue, the thought of a fellow Christian that you've not thought about in maybe weeks or even months, or maybe somebody you've never even really given any real serious thought to, suddenly the name of a fellow Christian that you know is struggling comes fluttering across your mind with a conviction that you should speak a word of encouragement to that person. Let's say you're at the grocery store and you're at the cash register and someone in front of you who's checking out is short a few dollars on paying their bill. And in that moment, the thought comes across your mind of how mindful you are of the provisions and blessings of God in your life, and you're moved with conviction to step in and act with generosity in that moment. Let's say that you suddenly feel in your life one day a burden come across you to just pray for someone, and you don't know where that thought came from, but you feel compelled, I need to pray for this person. Or you feel a strong inclination to spend more time with the Lord than you've been spending in your weekly schedule. Or maybe you feel an inward conviction that suddenly bursts on you to alter some behavior in your life. Where did these thoughts come from? So often, I think too often, I will confess in my life, up until this present time, too often when I've had those thoughts, It's so easy to ignore them, to let those thoughts pass right out of my mind just as quickly as they came into it. I will confess to you that too often when I've had those thoughts, I've written those thoughts off as just being my own thoughts or my own desires, or just coincidence. I want to challenge you to think that maybe you may be hearing the voice of the Lord. But the Lord's voice is like a voice in that it gives direction. It's not really a voice. It's more of an instinct. It's more of a prompting to move us into action. And the choice is ours as to whether or not we act on it or not. The Lord will not override your free will. He will not make you do something that you don't choose to do. But do you have ears that will hear? Do I? So I think in the mundane events of everyday life, we need to be looking for and listening for the Lord's voice. There was an English poet in the Victorian era by the name of Elizabeth Browning who wrote these words: "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush is afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. All the rest sit around and pick blueberries." You see, what she's trying to communicate in her writing is that if you or I, if we are not expecting the Lord to lead us and guide us each day, how many countless burning bushes has He been putting right before us in our lives that we walk right past without even noticing? But you see, you and I, we have to tune our hearts and our ears to the frequency of God. Well, exactly how might we, what are some tips to doing that? How do we go about tuning into the frequency of God? Christian author Frank Viola gives some practical suggestions that I have found to be extremely helpful, and I want to share those with you. Number one, if you want to tune into the frequency of God so that you hear His voice in your life, you have to become poor in spirit. Jesus starts His teaching in the Sermon on the Mount about kingdom living by saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." You want to be living in tune with the kingdom of God in your life? You want to be in alignment with the workings of God in the land of the living today? You got to become poor in spirit first. Because if you're full of self, if you are fully self-reliant, and you're full of pride and arrogance, your ears will be muted to the voice of the Lord. So you got to become poor in spirit. Secondly, you've got to reject the condemning voice of the evil one in your heart that says you are unworthy to hear the voice of the Lord. All of us, I guess, wrestle with that voice of condemnation. And that's the reason why Paul gives such a strong affirmation against it in Romans 8, as was read in our scripture reading in the crescendo of that chapter this morning even. "There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." If you're in Jesus Christ, don't you let the voice of Satan say you're not spiritual enough to hear the voice of the Lord. What makes you spiritual is not what you do. What makes you spiritual, what makes you in alignment with God, what makes you hear the voice of the Lord is being a person who trusts in Jesus Christ And when you trust in Jesus Christ through faith and you give your life to Him, you have the Spirit of God in you, and that Spirit of God is testifying to the fact that you've been adopted and that you are a child of God and you're being led by the Spirit. And that's the whole message of Romans chapter 8. And so you got to reject the condemning voice that says you're unworthy to hear from the Lord. You have been made worthy in Jesus. Thirdly, if we're going to tune into the frequency of God, we've got to remain humble like children waiting to hear from our Father. The voice of the Lord remains elusive for people that remain wise in their own eyes. But Matthew chapter 11 and verse 25 says that God reveals Himself to those that are childlike. That children are given truths that those that are wise in their own eyes will never see. Jesus prays this prayer, Father, I thank You that You've not given these things to those that are wise in the ways of this world, but that You have revealed them to little children, to those that have a childlike desire to wait on and hear a voice, a word from the Lord. Number four, we have to expect to hear from Him. James tells us in James 1 and verses 5 through 8 that if you doubt, if you waver or doubt that the Lord will give you something like wisdom, give you direction in your life, if you doubt that, he says that person shouldn't expect to receive anything from the Lord. So we have to expect through faith that the Lord really will do what He said He'll do. He'll give wisdom. He'll give direction. He'll give guidance. When we learn to trust in the Lord fully and seek His will, Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6 says, He will show you the path to take. Number five, we've got to be willing to respond to what we hear. Jesus said in John 7 and verse 17, only those that are willing to do the Father's will hear Him clearly. Those that are willing to do my Father's will know the message, will know the voice, will know the direction, Jesus says. But you got to be willing. And you see, this is one of the struggles I think I must confess that I've faced in my life. Maybe you have too. How many times have I quenched the conviction of the Spirit in my life when it comes? And the more and more that you and I quench the conviction, the more and more that we quench the Holy Spirit's presence and direction in our lives, then the less frequently those convictions will come. Jesus said in Mark 4, verses 23 through 25, those that hear, more will be given. But to those that ignore the voice, they will find even what they have taken away. So we got to be willing to respond to what we hear. So, one more, but in summary, we've got to become poor in spirit if we're to tune into the frequency of God. We've got to reject the condemning voice that says we're unworthy to hear. We've got to remain humble like children, wanting to receive a word from the Lord. We've got to expect to hear from Him and then be willing to respond to the conviction when it comes and not quench it. But then finally, number six, we've got to make sure we have the right motives for wanting to hear from the Lord. If you're wanting to hear from the Lord and have direction and wisdom in your life from Him for selfish motives, basically to achieve your own happiness in this world, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. If you're wanting to spend it on your own vain pleasures, if that's why you're praying to the Lord, if that's why you're asking to hear from His voice, God does not exist for your personal use. His purpose, He tells us in Romans 8 and verse 29, His purpose is to conform each one of us into the image of His Son. His singular focus in everything God does in His interactive workings in our lives is laser focused on one objective, and that is through all the situations, through all the circumstances, through all the chance conversations, through all the things that seem to be coincidence, through all the ups and the downs, through all the trials and the tribulations, through all the victories and all the defeats, all of it is headed in a laser focused. He's trying to shape you to be more in His own image. He's trying to shape you and mature you and develop you and refine you. And so if your purpose is in alignment with that, and you're welcoming God's renovative work in your life, then you can expect to hear more of that direction and hear more of that voice. But if you don't have the right motives, don't expect to hear from Him. In closing, the final words of Jesus before He ascended back to the Father to you and me, His followers, were these: I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Not to the end of the New Testament, not to the end of the first century, not to the end of the second century, to the end of the age, till He returns. I am with you always. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? One of the predominant themes of the entire biblical narrative is the presence of God. It begins in the Garden of Eden. It goes with the children of Israel in the wilderness wanderings. The presence of God descends in the mercy seat, in the Ark of the Covenant, in the Holy of Holies, in the temple. The presence of God embodies the human flesh of Jesus of Nazareth. The presence of God comes upon the children of God in the form of the Holy Spirit's indwelling in the Christian age. And the Holy Spirit's presence is with us, guiding and directing us. And the presence of God will be with His people in the consummation, in the renewing of all things, in the new heavens and the new earth. I will be their God and they shall be my people in the new Eden. The presence of God is a predominant theme of the Bible. In fact, when you look to the life of Jesus, it's what the resurrection is all about. Our hope, our faith, the Christian belief system is all built on the truthfulness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the meaning of Jesus' resurrection is not just that He won. The meaning of Jesus' resurrection is that He is alive and well, that Jesus is with us, He's living among us, He is here with us. Will you accept this? Or will you quench the Spirit? In a very convicting sermon by Stephen in Acts 7, a sermon, by the way, much like this one for this speaker, got him stoned. Stephen preached a very convicting sermon. And what really got the goat of his hearers was he said this: will you always resist the Holy Spirit like your fathers did? Will you continue to resist Him? Or will you accept the presence of God in the land of the living? And will you commune with Him and listen for His voice? We've sung about that some this morning. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah, pilgrim in this barren land. We've sung about it for years. I come to the garden alone and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. I can hear my Savior calling. We've sung for years. All the way my Savior leads me. I hear the voice of Jesus say? Will you listen to His voice? Will you tap into those spiritual instincts? Don't quench the Spirit, but listen to the voice of your shepherd. He is calling you. He calls you by name, and He leads you out, and you can know His voice. His voice is sure. It is steady. It is the voice of truth. It is the voice of shaping of your life. Follow His voice, the voice of the shepherd. If you're feeling under conviction by the Spirit, by Jesus this morning, that you need to give your life to Him, or maybe you need prayers to restore your walk with Him, if we can help you in any way, won't you respond to that voice as we stand and as we sing?